coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
How many relationships do you know where people are completely with each other, but have no idea, nothing about each other? There's nothing going on between them. And I said, the only time the dog gets you to be engaged with him is when he's stealing socks. And he got it. And he says, so what do I do? So clearly the dog training that he has done before was correcting the dog. But the problem was that he did not find another way to do what? To meet the dog's needs.
Hi, everyone. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my new venture and our newest protein powder, the Pegan Shake. One of the best ways to boost your brain power is with the best nutrition. This is why Dr. Mark Hyman and I teamed up to create the perfect shake to start your morning off right and set your brain and body up for vitality and success. The shake is called the Pegan Shake, and it features a combination of grass-fed collagen, organic pumpkin, and organic pea protein powder with healthy fats from MCT oil and avocado oil, which, by the way, are great for fat burning and fueling brain power as well. A little bonus, the Pegan Shake also features organic acacia fiber, which is great for gut motility and digestion. See, this shake was created to support healthy blood sugar and healthy energy levels. In fact, one of the most common reasons for mood imbalances and brain challenges come from unbalanced blood sugar. Have you ever felt anxious, tired, and wired, and then ate something and felt better? Well, when your blood sugar goes through major fluctuations throughout the day, you literally can feel crazy. I know so many people can relate. So the Pecan Shake supports your blood sugar by feeding your body the right information from this perfect combination of macronutrients. I've been using the Pecan Shake for months, and I feel full, satisfied, satiated, focused, and most importantly, I avoid those energy slumps that come in the late afternoon too. I think you're gonna love this shake. Dr. Hyman and I teamed up to make it because we literally couldn't find a shake mix that we loved. So we decided to create it ourselves. Check it out at getpharmacy.com/pegan shake. You can find the link in the show notes. That's getpharmacy, pharmacy with an F, pharmacy.com/pegan shake. Now on to today's episode. Hi everyone, Drew Perrode here. We spend countless hours training our dogs, but how often do we consider what they have to teach us? On today's mini episode, I speak with my good friend Tamar Geller, a celebrity dog trainer, a New York Times bestselling author, and as Oprah says, a life coach for dogs and their people. Tamar has revolutionized the way that dog training is done. The Love Dog Method, which is her framework really, that Tamar created over 30 years ago is based on the knowledge she acquired as an intelligence officer with the elite Israeli Special Forces from the respect she gained for the wisdom of nature while observing, yeah, this is crazy, observing wolves in the wild and her devotion to personal growth. Tamar helps dogs and their people develop a relationship that is based on mutual devotion as she helps the dog become the best version of himself. Instead of commands, she teaches dogs the life skills that allow them to self-regulate, think before acting, and make better decisions. She also teaches the parents, how to understand their dog's behavior and become great communicators. Tamar has helped celebrities like Tony Robbins, Ellen DeGeneres, Ben Affleck, Charlie Theron, Reese Witherspoon, Courtney Cox, and of course, Oprah, and many other non-famous dog lovers too, to have the most awesome dogs. In this episode, we discuss Tamar's philosophy of dog training, which is about improving the relationship between you and your dog so your dog is not obedient to you, your dog is devoted to you. Tamar explains the makeup of dogs' brains and the core needs that dogs and humans share, as well as how dogs give us the most insight into how we actually show up in all of our relationships. Let's listen in.
One thing that I learned from the wolves observing them, that they spend a lot of time playing three type of games. The games are chasing, wrestling, and tug of war. When you think about the skills that they need to master in order to be good hunters, is to chase the animal, to wrestle it to the ground, grabbing the leg, grabbing the neck, and then to tag on the neck to kill it, and then to rip it to pieces so they can eat. So when we look at our dogs, they all play chasing, wrestling, or tug of war. Now, if we look at any sport, let's look at the NBA or at football, everybody have the position. They are not all doing the same that everybody else. One is a point guard, one is center, one is the whatever Tom Brady's role is, I forget the
quarterback.
Name. Quarterback. So dogs are, one of them, some of them going to be really good at chasing. Some of them going to be really good at wrestling. Some of them really going to be a tug of war. So when I work with people, they tell me, my dog is tugging at my robe in the morning. Immediately, I know the dog is inviting his parent to play a game of tug of war because he know he can win in that game the way a human toddler or a 4 or 5-year-old going to invite you to play the computer game that they know they can win, that they know they're going to kick your butt at, right? Yeah. Dogs are the same. So when I go back, when I go to that client, he tells me the dog is stealing socks. And I said, what is he doing with the socks? He runs away. And I said, what do you do when he runs away with the socks? He says, I have to stop working and chase him. Ding, 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 ding. Do you understand? Is that a dog training problem? No, it's a relationship problem. And I said, the dog wants you to pay attention to him. And the owner tells me, but I'm here. And I say, physically you are here, but you're not present to the relationship. You're not present to your dog. How many relationships do you know where people are completely with each other, but have no idea, nothing about each other. There's nothing going on between them. And I said, the only time the dog gets you to be engaged with him is when he's stealing socks. And he got it. And he says, so what do I do? So clearly the dog training that he has done before was correcting the dog. But the problem was that he did not find another way to do what? To meet the dog's needs. If a need, a core need, is not going to be met, you can't get rid of a need. It's not a preference.
It's baked into dogs and human beings.
You got it. We need to meet the needs. The only way for a dog not to meet a need of interaction is to go into depression. And that was a young, alive, happy dog. There was no way he would do that. And also the owner was a sweetheart. He didn't correct his dog the way the other trainers told him to do. Thank God. So I showed him how to play games that met the dog needs, those based on these three needs, chasing, wrestling, and tug of war, where he was engaged. Once he met the dog needs, he now had the right to say, now I'm busy working. I met your needs. I'm not all going to spend all day with you. And within a couple of days, the problem was fixed.
Because a lot of people in that situation feel like, oh, if I played along with it, that's not on my terms of walking the dog around the block and when it needs to poop and pee and other stuff, then I just going to want to do that all day.
That's true. But you have a right. You don't have a right to tell the dog no more. Just the way you would tell a child no more if you first haven't met their needs. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And the needs are in any relationship. It's like I see, believe me, what people tell me about the relationship with each other, about the intimate stuff, and I'm looking and I'm like, how do you expect your husband to stay with you if you have not been with him for over a decade? You know, romantically.
Or vice versa. You know, people say, going back to your analogy of being present, there's Esther Perel, right?
I love her.
Friend of mine.
Love her.
And she says, you know, we so often give our best at work and then we come home and we bring leftovers to our partner. 100%. And then somebody says, babe, but we're spending time together. And it's like you come back, you're low energy, you're not engaged, you're on your phone, you're thinking about other things. You're emotionally vomiting on your partner and you're not bringing that same best energy. Are you really meeting your partner's needs? Yes, you're there physically, but are you truly present with them?
Exactly right. And I love Dr. John Gottman's work where he talks about stonewalling.
Yes.
It's so many times like that. And somebody asks you something, you go, uh-huh, uh-huh. And you don't even hear what they are saying. You just hear with the remote control. Uh-huh, uh-huh. It's like you can't expect to have a good return of investment on a relationship if you're putting nothing into it?
And so the first question, to take it back to dogs, and obviously this is such a bigger converse, it's dogs and more, is going back to your original question, which is how can we ask better questions? Exactly. Is all your dog's needs being met?
Exactly right. That's exactly right. So we touched on a couple of things right now. I have the behavior quadrinity. There are four things in the behavior quadrinity when I'm dealing with a dog and the parent that I'm looking for. So first I'm looking is, what is the dog associate with pain? What does the dog associate with pleasure? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at mindfulness versus impulse, both on the dog's part and on the parent part. People who are quick to correct as opposed to ask a good quality question. And then I'm looking at the six needs. And I follow the formula that my dear friend Tony Robbins has used, the six needs, because five of them apply to dogs. And the needs are the need for certainty, need for predictability, need for safety. So an example for that would be, we need to know that we are safe, that we're not going to have an earthquake, that everything is good. You need to know that there's going to be food on the table.
That you're not going to go to your parent, and that you don't know if you're going to get hit or if you can get tugged.
100%.
Because you don't form a secure form of attachment.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
And we just did an entire episode again. It just was recorded the other day, so it probably will come out before this. But we had an expert coming in talking about all the different forms of attachment.
Yes.
And when a baby and a toddler and a young child doesn't have that form, you start to see all this quote unquote bad behavior, but it's just literally a reflection of their relationship with their parent.
100%. And you see it with dogs. And remember, those people who never had a really good attachment get a dog. What do you think is going to happen there? But that's an opportunity for them to heal their own wound.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And set a new framework for the dog.
You got it.
So you said the first one was certainty.
But the second one is uncertainty. And the reason why is, let's say you have food, but what is your favorite food?
Me?
Yeah.
I like a nice vegetable stir fry.
Great. So I'll give you that perfect vegetable stir fry today for breakfast, and then for lunch, and then for dinner. And I'll do the same tomorrow for breakfast and lunch and dinner, the exact same thing. And then the next day, I guarantee within a very short period of time, you would not want to look at that stir fry. We gotta get variety. We need to have some uncertainty. Within the certainty, we need to have some uncertainty.
Some surprises, something
you
new.
God, that's why people love to watch sports games. They have the certainty of how the game is played, what are the rules, but they don't know exactly who's going to go and who's going to win and what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
right? So we need certainty, we need uncertainty. Think about dogs. That's why they love to play games with you. Tug of war, for example, because they know the rule of the game, but they don't know if they're going to win now or not. Certainty, uncertainty.
Or catch. They don't know where you're going to throw the ball, if they're going to find it.
It's exactly, if they're going to catch it or not. The next need that we have, and these are, by the way, not in order. The next need is the need for love and connection, love and belonging, the way Abraham Maslow talked about it, love and belonging. We need to fit in. We need to belong for safety. Think about dogs. They are pack animals. We are pack animals. We need to fit. We need to have a group. But within fitting in, there's the next need, which is significance. We need to stand out. We need to be noticed. We need to be acknowledged.
We have to also have something that we are good at, or like our family member, both for dogs and human beings, that people are like relying on us for something specific. There's like a talent, or there's a this, or there's
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That we can shine and we can contribute, which is another need. Through that talent, through what we can show, we can contribute. That is the last need in Tony's list. And that is not a need the dogs have. Dogs do not have the need to contribute, but we'll get back to it in a second. Instead of contribution, I said the dogs have a need for physical exercise. The next need for people, though, is the need for growth. Growth where it's your relationship is growing, your company is growing, you're growing as a human being. Everything in nature, every blade of grass is either growing or dying. Nothing stays the same. Nothing stays the same. Everything is either growing or dying. So when I'm looking at a dog and I'm looking at their parent, of those needs, I'm looking to see which two are the two needs that the dog is trying to meet. which two needs the parent is trying to meet, and are they in alignment?
So before you go further there, they all are very clear. The one that I'm not as clear with for dogs, just because my own experience of not having enough experience, is growth. How would growth show up in relationship to dogs?
So one of the biggest issues that I see with dogs is they don't have growth, meaning their brain is designed to expand. Their brain is designed to have many more neural connections. When they're in nature, they're constantly learning new skills. When they're living in the domesticated life, they don't have to hunt for the food. They don't have to, you know, interact with many different situations that challenges them.
They smell the same smells.
Particularly when you take them around the same walk. I mean, the females are very similar. There's not much going on. And many dogs are understimulated. And that is one of the biggest cause for issues in dogs.
They're bored, so they got to create something. The line is going to do something.
You got it. You're 100%. And what happens because people, because of dog training started in the 1950s after Second World War, if you think about it, why are we teaching the dog to heel on our left side? Because the rifle was on the right side. So a dog was an extension of the soldier, and it was about obedience. As a soldier, you're not supposed to think. You have a commander who thinks. You just need to obey your commander. So your dog is an extension of you. Should be obedient, but that goes against nature.
Which is also the way that people thought of kids for the longest time. You know, you have
and wives,
three, four,
and women.
And women too. Your wife, your children are extension of you.
Yeah.
They're extension of this village that's there. And so they have to reflect. I don't care what your passion is. If you want to be a therapist, you're going to go become a doctor. You're going to become an engineer because your parents saw kids as property.
100%. Originally, that's what kids for. And marriage was also about property and to keep it in the family and whatnot. I mean, we are now living in a completely different time. And we have all the residue from all these property laws and whatnot.
It was a reflection of the world at that time.
That's exactly.
It wasn't, that doesn't make it right, but it was a reflection of the world at that time. But we're not living, especially in Western society, we're not playing that same game. And this is the evolution and the consciousness of all beings, including dogs.
That's exactly right. But sadly, when you look at everything in life, everything has moved forward since the 1950s. The way we teach kids in schools, the way women are viewed, everything. Dogs, it's still stuck in the 1950s way where a dog has to be obedient and a dog has to obey to the sit, stay, calm down, and heal. And nobody ever looked to say, wait a minute, why is the dog doing what he's doing? What are the dog's needs? If we do have an understanding of his brain today, because brain science has moved so far, then do we have the right to treat dogs like that? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's really is an existential question, which goes back to the Bible, where we're supposed to be caretakers, you know, of these beautiful animals.
You were talking about the different needs, and I asked you about growth.
Yes.
And so you were talking about, instead of contribution, dogs feel the need of physical exercise.
It's not feel, they have a need. It's more than a feeling,
yes,
it's a
yes.
need. So when I work with dogs, I'm looking to see what needs are not being met, or even sometimes what needs are being violated. I'll give you an example. I work with a terrier, a Westie terrier, and he was never coming back when his loving parents took him out, took him on hikes and took him to the beach. He would never come back. And when I worked with them and I saw how wonderful they were, and I looked at the dog, it became very obvious that because they love his dogs, they love the dog so much, everything was very organized. They are very overachievers, very organized, wonderful couple, and everything in the dog's life was organized. There was no growth. And there was no uncertainty. Everything was too much certainty, too much everything was planned. And when I worked with him and I showed him, hey, let's loose the reins a little bit. Let's give him a little bit more variety that he can find on his own. Don't take so much of the structure that you do for him. All of a sudden, and we change it that when we call you, we become the pit stop, like the NASCAR, mm-hmm. where you come and we give you the refreshments and we give you the best treats possible. And then you send me back on the beach. We don't take you out. We don't call you to come back. You come, we give you the most awesome goodies. And then we said, okay, go back on the beach. Because the beach was safe. There was nowhere he can go when he was on the beach. So where are you going to go? And after a while, the dog realized, oh my God. And all the problems were solved. Everything was solved. But here's what happened. The dad looked at me and he goes, oh my God, I just made a huge mistake. And I'm like, what happened? And he goes, I realized that I put as the head of HR in my company, human resources, I put a person who their number one need is significance. Mm. I was like, ding, 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 ding. Because when he started understanding what's going on with this dog, and when he realized that this is applicable to people, he saw where he made the mistake. So what I love when I work with people is when I'm talking about the dog, there is a stealth invitation for them to look at themselves.
Dogs teach us so many important life lessons. They teach us about gratitude, love, and compassion, being present, and so much more. When humans bring a dog into their life, they are most often looking for a companion. What they may not realize is that they are getting a teacher as well. Thanks for tuning in to this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. I'll see you next week.